Go ahead and take your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Got an intriguing subject to talk to you about this evening. Proverbs chapter 6. Shouldn't take you very long to find it. Go ahead and put your eyes on verse 16 and 17. Notice what the Bible says here. Oh, we'll start back at verse 16. It says here, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. In 2003, there was a company that was established by a 19-year-old Stanford dropout named Elizabeth Holmes. Fascinating story. I watched this documentary last night. Just thought it went so well with the thoughts that we're going to look at this evening. She became really proficient in a short amount of time of selling a product that did not exist. Fascinating. And in fact, at the height of this company, Theranos was the name of it, it was worth some $10 billion. Some of the most prominent investors in America, some of the most well-known politicians were on the board of this company. Everybody was captivated by the brilliance of a young girl who just seemed to be everything that she said she was. But in fact, she wasn't those things. You say, how did she get so good at selling a product that didn't exist? Well, she became really good at telling lies. And a lot of people believed her. In fact, when there was a great fallout and it eventually came to light that what she was proposing to everybody and said that she had, as far as a product goes, when it became very apparent that this was not what she said it was, nor could it do what she said it could do. Everybody said the same thing. I don't know how in the world I didn't see this. I don't know how in the world she convinced us all. But Elizabeth Holmes became very good at deception. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. We've already noticed here, just in the introduction, how God feels about deception. Lying, a false witness. And I want to look at some things that I think will help us as we try to process and work through the temptation we all have to deceive, to lie, to shade the truth, to maybe not give all of the information. And what I want us to see tonight is that God wants us to simply tell the truth. We're going to talk about that tonight, to tell the truth. So if you can just kind of follow with me here as we progress through this, I want us to ask some questions. First of all, why is it so difficult sometimes for us to just keep ourselves from being deceptive in general, not giving the whole story? Why is that? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think number one, because of the culture we're living in. It is permissible in a lot of circles to shade the truth. Let me give you some examples of this. There's some sayings that often go in the business world where people are trying to get to a point in their career to where they're making a lot of money and they're well established and they've got a lot of confidence as far as people who are following them. There's a saying that goes, fake it till you make it. How many of you have ever heard that saying before? In other words, people give off a persona that, hey, they've got it all together. And, you know, yeah, Wall Street, I worked on Wall Street, sure. You know, well, what they were doing was they were cleaning closets, you know. They give off this idea that, hey, you know what, I'm all that in a bag of chips, right? Fake it till you make it. It's sort of an acceptable thing. Someone else says you can lie as long as it doesn't hurt someone. There's a distant family member that believes that. You know, you can lie as long as it's not going to hurt someone. Okay, well, you know what our flesh can do? Well, we could lie about anything then. Because we could say, well, I think it's better really, and then we fill in the blank. We could almost come up with any scenario where it's better for someone that maybe I be deceptive. Slippery slope. Someone says maybe fake it till you make it. You can lie as long as it doesn't hurt someone. Or even this one, it's not going to help them to know the truth. This is the idea of situational ethics. I was reading an article yesterday that appeared in Time magazine in 2018, and it stated that honesty is not always the best policy in regards to relationships. And so it went on down, and it tried to make its case. Let me give you some of the pointers here. He said, if you have someone's best interest at heart, it's okay to be deceptive. Okay, we've heard that already. It's okay to be deceptive if you don't have time to maybe, if the person you're talking to doesn't have time to change the situation. You know, we're maybe headed out of the house. My wife turns to me and says, doesn't my hair look great? And then I look at her, and it's like, woo! Okay, now that doesn't ever happen. Okay, she sleeps, it's like, perfect. But let's just say it was all woo, then they're saying in that moment, she doesn't really have time to fix it, so you just lie through your teeth. Okay. Again, situational ethics here. They give another example. Let's see here. If you don't have time to change it, it's okay to lie. If you are not close with a person, it's okay to lie. Okay, so maybe I'm not close with Corey here, and you know, I'm just, I'm going to tell. It's okay to lie. The point is, what our culture, the message that our culture is telling us is that, hey, as long as the end goal is good, it's okay to be deceptive. So what are some other reasons that maybe we struggle? Well, aside from seeing the example of our culture, I think number two, sometimes we like to focus on extremes and build our values from there. You know, we look at an extreme situation and we say, well, you know, I don't think lying is, you know, it's not all that bad. You know, I mean, if a burglar was, you know, about to chase me and kill me, Brother Scott, and they said, you don't have a gun, do you? And if I didn't have a gun, you know, I'd lie, right? I'd be like, of course I have a gun, right? We like to look at extreme situations and we like to say, hey, well, Isn't lying okay? And you know, there's lying, permissible lying in the Bible. I don't know if you noticed that. Anybody notice that? Okay, does anybody know what it is normally circulating around when it's in the Bible? We see a couple of examples in the Old Testament. Corey? Yeah, right. Okay. Now, what was this? This was. Hey, you got any spies around here? What does she say? Of course not. Okay. Meanwhile, they're like, right? They're all hanging out. So, what's going on there? Well, wartime. The Lord appears to allow deception in war, and that's not the only instance in which it happens. But sometimes we look to like, look, Rahab, she lied, so I can lie. Right? That's what we like to do, okay? But without realizing context. So we look to what our culture says. We look to extreme situations to somehow justify our deception. So let's get a baseline understanding of what we're talking about here when we say deception. I looked at a lot of different definitions. I liked this one the most. I felt like it was the most specific. Definition of deception, an act or statement that misleads, hides the truth or promotes a belief, concept, or idea that is not true. Okay, that's a lot of things going on there, but I love the specificity of it all, being how specific it is. An act or statement that misleads, hides the truth, or promotes a belief, concept, or idea that is not true. Deception can occur by a spoken word. Deception can occur by an unspoken word. Sometimes maybe somebody is going to believe something and you're sitting there like, that's not true. They think I did that, but I really didn't, and I'm not going to speak up. So is that really deception? Yeah, it's deception. You haven't said anything, but it's more about what you haven't said in that situation. So deception can be a spoken word. It can be an unspoken word. Deception can be in print. You can write a text message that is deceitful. You can share something on social media that is deceitful. There are adults all across the globe who cheat on their taxes, who put things in print that are not true about themselves. Deception. Deception occurs in a lot of different forms. I want us to notice, though, and I'm going to have you turn to some passages here. I want you to notice the source and character of truth. Before we tackle untruth or falsehood or lies and deception, I want us to first understand where truth comes from and why it should be so important to us as Christians. So I need somebody to turn to Deuteronomy 32, Deuteronomy 32, 4. Josiah is going to grab that one for me. I need somebody to turn to Numbers 23 and verse 19. Sophie's going to grab that. I need somebody to turn to Psalm 33 and verse 4. Cheatham's going to grab that. I need somebody to hit John 1 and verse 14. Allison's going to hit that. I need somebody to turn to John 14 and verse 6. David's going to hit that. And then I need someone to hit 3 John 1, 4. And Emmanuel's going to hit that, all right? So we're going to kind of boom, boom, boom through these references here, but I want you to see each one builds on itself and speaks to this idea of the source and character of truth. Should we just tell the truth, Brother Scott, because my parents said it's the right thing to do? Should we just tell the truth, Brother Scott, because, well, they say it'll get you far in life? Why should we tell the truth? Well, let's understand the source and character of it. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Josiah, go ahead, buddy.
He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he.
Yeah, and there's a number of other verses that mirror just like this one that speak to the fact that God himself is truth. That he is, and all truth that ever is, ever was, or ever truth that will be comes directly from him. And that takes many forms. We'll keep going, though. God is truth. Notice Numbers 23 and verse 19. Whoever has that, go ahead and read it. Yeah, and again, other verses that herald the same thing. God is truth, and he cannot lie. There's no darkness in him. It's not like, well, God is a pretty good God. No, it's God is truth, period. And he is never untruth or falsehood or anything in relation to that. So God is truth. He always and only speaks truth. Let's see Psalm 33 and verse 4. Okay, so now this is the next level. God himself is truth, right? Okay, so now it says that his words are truth. Well, that's the word of God. He's given us this book, and we can have complete and utter confidence in it that when we read it, that it is in fact truth. We can own it. We can know it for ourselves. And so he's truth himself. He's given us his words that are truth. And notice where we're going next, John 1 and verse 14. Okay, now who is this? Somebody help me out. Who is this? It says that the Word was made flesh. Okay, so God is truth. His Word is truth. Truth took form, and what form? Jesus. Okay, so you see the progression here? I mean, this is all where truth comes from. It's the source of truth, and yet we're still going somewhere, okay? We see that Jesus was truth incarnate, and then I think David's got John 14 and verse 6. Okay, so Jesus himself now, he says, hey, I am truth. You want to know what truth looks like? You want to know what the truth is? You want to know what the right way is in life? It's me. That no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So where do we go from here? 3 John 1, verse 4. Emmanuel, do you have that?
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
In truth. And that should be a familiar verse. We had it as a memory verse. But you see the idea here. God is truth. And as we progress through, down through truth, we realize that the Lord wants us to walk in that truth. You say, why should I fight the temptation to deceive? Why should I purpose in my heart to not lie and to tell the truth? Because the Lord wants us to tell the truth. The Lord commanded us to tell the truth. And part of the reason that he went to the cross is because of truth, and now we can walk in truth. So we see the source and character of truth. Follow with me now, because I want us to see the source and character of deception. Go with me. Everybody go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. We're told so much about this idea of the source and character of deception in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Okay, we're talking about deception. Jesus says a lot here, but notice in verse 44, John 8, verse 44, he says, ye are of your father, the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees here, a deceptive people group. He says, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I want you to notice a couple of things here, and that is when it comes to the source of lying and deception, that is tied and attributed to none other than Satan himself. Deception is his very identity. Satan's identity is deception. That is who he is. Okay, he is not a cool dude. He is not some radical looking cartoon that he always just seems to be on the cool side of things in Hollywood. He is not an interesting character. No, he is a deceiver. He is deception at its very core, and that's part of his identity. And so we understand that deception, lying, it stems from him. And that's what Jesus said. So Satan's identity is deception. Notice that Satan made a choice to disassociate with truth. What does the Bible say here? He said that he abode not in the truth. What is this a reference to? Well, we go back to Ezekiel. We could see how Satan fell from heaven. We see how he took other angels with him. And he obviously caused a great revolt in heaven, but this was all a part of something that was inside of him and a choice that he made. Satan made a choice to disassociate with truth. We see Satan is intent on influencing people who follow God. It doesn't take long after Adam and Eve are in the garden that Satan makes his presence known. And what is he doing? Appearing, cheering on God's people, saying, hey, serve God, do right. No, he's trying to deceive. He's doing what he does. He is doing what at his core he can only do, and that is be deceptive. So Satan's identity is deception. He made a choice to disassociate with truth. Satan is intent on influencing people who follow God, and Satan's motive is always destruction. What does Jesus say about the father of lies? He is a murderer from the beginning. I think it's interesting that Jesus invokes Satan twice in Luke chapter 22 when he's talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, listen, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He just wants to shred your Christian life, Peter. He's after you. He wants to deceive you And he wants you to ultimately be at a place of destruction. Not only did he say that to Peter, but earlier on in the chapter, the Bible gives us a narrative that Satan influenced Judas. And it says that Judas went out and hung himself. What was the intent? What do you think Satan desired to see? Well, he desired to see much harm come to Jesus Christ. He took pleasure in every aspect of Judas's decisions. And when Judas had done his deed, the influence of the devil, he goes out and he hangs himself. Satan, his identity is deception, and his motive is always destruction. So when we deceive, we're aligning ourselves more with Satan than we are with God. Do you recognize that tonight? That when that temptation comes to be deceptive in some way, and it can be in a small way or in a great way, but we're aligning ourselves more with the Father of lies than we are with He who is truth and wants us to walk in it. So we've seen the source of truth. We've seen the source and character of deception. So I want to make this practical tonight. And so the final part of our study here this evening is going to be centered around this idea of why we tell the lies that we do. Have you ever thought about that? Why in this situation was it so hard for me to tell the truth? Why is it that when I found myself that day at the crossroads of truth and falsehood, why is it that I just threw everything to the wind and deceived in that way? And what I want you to see is that long before we make the choice to deceive or to lie, there are other sins that are taking place before deception comes into the picture. And I want you to see that for yourself tonight. Notice just a few things here. So let's answer the question, speaking practically. We know the Lord doesn't want us to lie. We know He doesn't want us to deceive. We see how He's connected with truth, and we see how Satan's connected with error or deception. But why do we tell lies? Why is this? Notice number one, because sometimes we tell lies because we're embarrassed to be truthful. Sometimes we tell lies because we're embarrassed to be truthful. Maybe we don't want people to see our flaws, whatever that may be. So somebody asks you a question. In your heart, you're like, man, I don't want to be truthful. They're going to think I'm lame, or it's embarrassing. I don't really want to say. And in that moment, you're fighting pride. And so instead of being honest or being truthful, you succumb to a prideful temptation that results ultimately in deception. So, well, what should we really do? Well, James 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. So instead of being in a situation where we're like, well, I don't want to embarrass myself, we should rather have the thought process of, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. You know what? I there are things that I don't do well. You know, there are things that I haven't done in the past that I should have. And even though I'm embarrassed to say it, there needs to be some honesty in that moment. Because God hates pride, and certainly pride can become a driving force to deceive if we're not careful. So we need to learn to confess our faults. So why is it that sometimes we deceive? Well, sometimes because we're embarrassed to be truthful, although we should be honest and truthful all the time. Oh, what's another reason? Because we want to reshape our reality. We want to reshape our reality. Sometimes people don't like the way things are, so they lie. You know, I don't really care for my life, so I'm going to give a flavor, a persona that life is not that way. And so I'm just going to lie to people. You know, they're going to ask me, and you know what, maybe after I tell these lies for a while, they'll start coming true. Some people live that way. They try to reshape their reality by being deceptive. Of course, that's always wrong. So sometimes it's because we're too embarrassed to tell the truth. That's not right. Sometimes it's because we want to reshape our reality, and certainly that's not right. Number three, because we are lazy and we cut corners. Sometimes we're deceptive because we're just flat out lazy. Well, we didn't put the work in. We didn't make the choice to do the right thing. And we didn't make the effort to maybe do that chore that your mom said, hey, before you leave the house, I want you to do this. They came back. You were lazy. You didn't do it. And now they're going to ask you, did you do it? Well, I know maybe they're not going to check up on me, so maybe I could get away with just being a little deceptive here. And so laziness and a lack of effort has now become the driving force behind the lie that you may be tempted to tell. So sometimes because we're maybe embarrassed to tell the truth, because we want to reshape our reality in some way, because we're lazy and cut corners, because we want, number four, we want our own way. We want our own way. You ever wanted something so bad, that you're like, I am willing to do whatever it takes to get it? You ever wanted something that bad? Elizabeth Holmes did. Boy, she wanted power, she wanted money, and she had all those things for a time. And she just kept right on telling her lie because she wanted it. She wanted it. Well, sometimes you and I are deceptive because, man, if I told the truth, boy, I might not get what I want. Boy, if I'm honest, boy, my parents, boy, they're not going to give me that reward. If I tell them the truth, I don't think I'm going to get such and such. It's a temptation that we all have, but we shouldn't think that way, because Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." So we have to understand that lying is never the idea. Lying is never a good choice. And whereas maybe to us at the time, because we want something so badly, we have to say, no, that may seem right now, but ultimately, that's going to bring me to a bad place. The Bible says the end thereof is the way of destruction. So sometimes because we're embarrassed, sometimes because we want to reshape our reality, sometimes it's because we're lazy and we cut corners, sometimes because we want our own way. Let me give you another one here. Because sometimes we want to avoid punishment. You ever done that before? You ever lied because you just were like, oh no, they already told me the consequences. This is about to get very bad. Now it's survival mode. Did you study for that test? Yeah. Did you really? Because you know, if you're honest in that moment, you know you're not going to have any time to do what you want on the weekend. You know that you're not going to. But is that the right reason to be dishonest? No, there's never a good reason to be dishonest. So we have to look at it and we have to say, why is it that I was deceptive there? Is it because I had pride in that moment? Is it because really I'm just lazy and I need to get my act together? Or is it something else where I told a lie because I knew I was about to get punished and it was self-preservation? I don't know if it's like this in your house, but it definitely is in mine. Whenever my boys lie, it's like double punishment. Okay, now let me tell you what their heart tells them. Their heart tells them, I messed up. I think I can lie my way out of it. And dad will never know. Okay, now that's what their heart tells them. And maybe that's what your heart has told you at some point. But let me tell you how it really goes. They mess up. They lie about it. And dad finds out. And then it's not pretty. I wonder why we deceive. Maybe some of these reasons connect with where you're at. Because we want to avoid punishment. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 gives us a reminder. You've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. We make things worse when we deceive, but sometimes it's because we want to avoid punishment. Let me give you another one. Because we want attention. And this one was the one that happened in elementary school. Okay, this was the one where my classmates told me that, hey, what's your dad do? Well, he's an astronaut. Oh, you got a cool dad. My dad just goes to work every day. Did that guy have a dad that was an astronaut? No, he didn't. What did he want? He wanted attention. You know, hey, my dad's better than your dad. You know, that's what's going on there. And sometimes people lie because they just want attention. You know, hey, have you ever been snowboarding? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been all the time. Okay. All right, you don't snowboard like that, okay. But maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been there. Somebody, you wanted to relate in the moment. Somebody's talking about something that's like, man, that's so cool. We're like, oh, I got nothing to say. Oh, I hope they don't ask me. What? Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah, 24/7, baby. Woo! Okay, you know, you want to contribute. You feel like, oh, yeah, you know, me too. I'm there with you. Let's hang, guys. Woo! We're together on this, okay? You been there? Been there in that moment? What's going on? Well, you want attention. So there are things that come before we ever get to that point where we're lying. What is a better action in that moment? Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You say, Brother Scott, what am I supposed to do in that moment? I mean, coolness is on the line. You ever been snowboarding? No, but it sounds really awesome. Yeah, you can't relate in that way, okay? But you're not trying to one-up. You're not trying to draw attention to yourself that somehow builds you up in a way that is deceptive. There's a better way. There's a better way. Lowliness of mind, cheer somebody else on in that moment. It's much better than trying to heap to yourself vainglory and then be deceptive about it. I want you to see a couple more here and then we're done tonight. Because we want attention, because we want to harm other people. Somebody ever told a lie about you? Has that ever happened to you? Somebody, you don't know why they did it, but they lied about you. That's hurtful. That gets under your skin, doesn't it? I mean, you just like, there's some things that, you know, well, that person told me I was lame. Ah, you know, it was a rough day, but I got over it. But when somebody lies about you, says something that said that you did something that you didn't do, boy, there's a little bit of like, you kidding me? Really? You said that about me? It makes you upset. Right? Sometimes we do that to other people just because we have ill will in our heart. I say, Brother Scott, who would do that? That's sort of an extreme version of being deceptive, is it? Well, maybe so, but at either level, it's still not right. Sometimes people lie or deceive because they want to harm others. Paul said this, Ephesians 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, all that hate you have in your heart to that person, that bitterness that's eating you up inside, whenever they walk into a room, you know what you need to do? You just need to give that to me. You know, cast that away from you. Because when you don't, sometimes that can lead you to a deceptive place where you can even ruin somebody's reputation or seek to harm somebody else. Notice the last one here. Sometimes people tell lies and are deceitful because they cannot stop. And that was Elizabeth Holmes. She was in a place where she became a habitual liar. Deception, she just didn't think twice about it. I mean, she lived a lie. Thought it was interesting. They said that in her regular work schedule, she would often sleep at the office. She'd sleep like 4 hours a night. Some people are just geared like that. I'm not like that. I need like triple that. Not really. Okay, but close to it. But she just, 20 hours a day, she lived a lie. You know, in 2018, her habit of lying caught up with her. And her $10 billion worth of company, in a matter of hours, went to less than zero. You say, Brother Scott, how is it possible to go less than zero? Well, when you got so many people that are suing you, you kind of end up with no money and then owing money. In September, she'll be sentenced, this coming September. And the article that I was reading was talking about how she could get up to like 22 years in prison. There are a number of other lawsuits that are just kind of hanging in the balance. But you say, Elizabeth Holmes, is it worth it? Oh, I don't think so. Some people get to a point where their whole life is a lie. It's just a habit. You know, nobody here tonight has to be in the place of any of these things. You don't have to be deceptive whenever you're at the crossroads of embarrassment or pride. You don't have to be deceptive because you've been lazy or something like that. You can turn all of that around and you can say, Lord, I'm just going to do what you want me to do, which is just tell the truth. Maybe tonight, in talking about deception, I didn't talk about the area that maybe you've been deceptive in. And you have to realize that every single one of us in here is tempted to deceive in one way or another. Sure, you may not be the Elizabeth Holmes kind. I certainly hope you're not. But chances are, somewhere in the last week, you've been tempted to deceive someone. I just wonder how you did with that. You know, how honest were you in that moment? How hard did you fight that temptation? Did you yield to the Spirit of God in that moment and say, Lord, I know because you are truth, I want to be aligned with you, and I don't want to be aligned with the devil. You realize tonight, if you say, Brother Scott, I have told some lies, and I know it, and the Holy Spirit is just ringing my bell tonight, I want you to know that there is mercy and compassion and love that is waiting for you tonight. Now, all you have to do is get things right with the Lord, get things right with the person that you have deceived, and then go on and, as John said, walk in truth. Let's walk in truth. Let's tell the truth. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. A lot of reasons that we could make the choice for deception, but hopefully you've seen some reasons as well not to. Hopefully you've seen tonight that before deception takes place, there are other sins that are at play. And hopefully you've seen tonight that each one of us, just as soon as we would choose deception, we can choose to walk in truth. I wonder who would be honest enough to say tonight, Brother Scott, the Lord has just touched my heart tonight in regards to an area of deception. It may not be egregious, but the Lord has put his finger on something tonight, and I'd appreciate you praying for me. Anybody by the uplifted hand, just the Lord spoke to my heart about deception to some degree. Heavenly Father, you have seen these hands. I pray, God, that we would just purpose to walk in truth, Lord, in the midst of a world that is going the complete opposite direction. Lord, we need your strength to do that. Help us to not give ourselves a pass. In your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, if God's worked in your heart, the altar's open as it always is. I encourage you to come, respond as the Lord has worked. If you've got something to confess, go ahead. Take it to the Lord. Worst thing you can do is run in the opposite direction of truth. Let's end the lies. Let's tell the truth. You say it's embarrassing. Tell the truth. The Lord will help you. You say, I don't know what kind of punishment I would get. Just tell the truth. You know, there are times that I would rather my parents punish me than I would the God of heaven. We purpose to tell the truth in all things, in all ways. All right, you can look up this way, and I just encourage you, if there's an area that the Lord has spoken to your heart specifically, something that you maybe need to talk to somebody about, listen, don't let the work of God end right here. Follow through with that. Okay, I promise the Lord's going to help you do that. Let's be obedient in that way.